Praise the Lord. Good to be here this morning. I notice almost everybody is informal, except me. This is kind of a Guyana suit. They wear this a lot in Guyana because it's so hot. And I'm thankful to God I can be here today. Yesterday morning we had a breakfast for the home, and some of you folks were there. And thank God for you. But I'm glad, first of all, for Jesus Christ. Many people do not know, but I came from a Hindu background. My grandparents came from India many, many years ago to work in the sugar plantations in Guyana, South America. Somebody asked me, how far was that from Kenya? Well, Guyana is in South America and Kenya is in Africa. So it's two different continents. And when they came from India, they brought their religion with them. They brought their gods with them. They brought all the stuff with them. And I was very conscious as a young person that my grandmother worshiped idols and she worshiped demons. She sacrificed pig bloods to demons. And if you're in the family, you must continue that sacrifice. You must continue that ceremony. But I'm glad when I found Jesus at the age of 14 years old at a street corner where one man came to preach the gospel. And I went up to give my heart to Jesus. And I remember that night very well. 1962, May the 10th. I was so happy. I was so full of joy. I could not sleep. And for the first time in my life, I knelt on my bed and I prayed. I don't know what I said, but I prayed. And since then, I've been serving God. Of course, many times I slipped and fell. But thank God for His grace and His mercy. I am still going on in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to congratulate Pastor Doug and Sister Fiona for the great work they're doing here. And I want you to know they're great people. Your pastor is a great man. He could drive very good. We went to visit some of our friends who have supported the orphanage and took us now to South Georgia and Jacksonville and Cleveland and all over the place. But it was wonderful. And I'm glad he could do the driving he did, because I was so tired sometimes. I'm glad he could. And we're back here today to let you know a little more about the orphanage, and so you can see what we're doing, because I was pastoring in Ephrata, and my wife, she had a piece of property in Guyana. So here am I, you know, I thought, well, we're going to sell this property and buy a house here, because we didn't have a house yet, you know what I mean? And I said, oh boy, I'm going to be good, because, you know, we can retire, we got our own place. She wanted to donate this property to build an orphanage. I said, you're crazy. I told her that literally. And she called the kids and told them that I don't want to agree with her. And she was crying and all this stuff. I said, oh my goodness. I said, where are we going to get the money to build this orphanage? And that was a big question, because we started a fund for the orphanage with our family. Myself, my wife, and the kids, four of them. And our first deposit in the bank to that account was $490. And I'm amazed to tell you to see that multiplied into over $180,000. And a brand new building is standing in Guyana, paid for, debt-free in the name of the Lord. And that tells me something. When you have a vision, when you have a dream, you must step out by faith. And though you mightn't see the end, you see, I'm going to tell you, the truth is, I want to build orphanages. I want to help kids, but I'm waiting for the money to come first. You know what I mean? I tell the Lord, when you bless me with the money, I'm going to do this. But my wife, she had more faith than me. I mean, she stepped out without the money. And she was literally walking on water. It was a miracle all the way through. And I tell you one of the miracles, and you ought to, it's related to here. there was this lady that came to our church, and she got saved. I baptized her, and she started coming. And she worked with this gentleman who owned the drag racing. Is that right? In Reading. He owned the strip, actually a part owner. And he goes to the UCC church. So my lady now, who works with him, invited to our church. So here we come to the church. He was about 80 years old. I didn't know this guy was loaded with cash. I didn't know that. And there he was in the church, and I preached like I preach every day, and I called for those who wanted for prayer. And he came forward, and I prayed with him, and I laid hands on him, and he was touched. And the Lord moved in him. And the next week he told me, he said, "Pastor, I want you to build a bathroom back there for the handicap." I said, "Fine." He said, "Hey, I'm going to give you a check for $2,000, and you go ahead and start it, and let me know how much more you need." I said, "Well, boy, this is good." We got a brand new bathroom back there, which is great. But that's not all. He got involved in the orphanage, and he was in the hospital. So every time I go to Guyana and come back, I'd bring a little cap for him, a little Guyana thing. And Sheila would talk to him, my wife. And when we were ready to leave, he'll tell this lady, "Write a check for Sheila for $8,000. I said, "Pray in my heart, you know what I'm saying?" So, you know, we go back and see him another time. He said, "Write a check and give Sheila for $7,000. It was a miracle, one after the other. I mean, this guy came from nowhere to our church. He joined our church. He left the UCC church and joined my church. And he died soon after. And he wanted me. He made sure, he told them, that I did the funeral. I said, "Wow, this is something else." And I believe today he's in heaven rejoicing for the things that God has used him to do. But it's a miracle, because here we go now. We have in my church, in the States, we have what you call a group of men. We call them men and women of action. They will come out here and help you build. But you've got to get the materials, and you've got to provide food for them, and they'll work. They'll pay their own fare and come down, you know? And so I said, I wrote to these guys and said, I need some help back in Guyana to build this building. You know what I mean? And they wrote back and told me, Brother Serge Paul, we don't give money for buildings. We'll come and build it if you have the money to buy the materials." They wanted to know how much money I got. I said, "We don't have much, because we're spending all the time, you know?" So they decided to come. And I was going to go with them, before them, to receive them. I was a little worried, because there were 18 men and women, and I don't have much money to buy materials to work on this building. And I said, "Whoa." I mean, they were paying their own fare to come down. They were going to pay for the hotel they're staying in. But now we got to find materials for them to work. So Saturday we went to see the building and where it was. And when they came down, one of the men came to me and gave me $20,000 cash in American $100 bills. I said, "Thank you, Lord." You see, I'm showing you miracle after miracle how God put up this building, because we couldn't do it on our own. There was no way we could do it, but one after the other. And then here comes the final stages of the building. I remember one time we needed windows, and it was going to cost $5,000. I said, "Whoa." You see, the monies we get are going every day. You know what I mean? We're paying some workers, and we're buying materials. And so there's hardly any money in the treasury at any one time. You know what I mean? And I said, "Wow, we got to get a window." So I took pictures and sent it out to friends everywhere. You know, this is the building. We need windows. One lady from Georgia called and said, "Brother Serge Paul, I noticed you need windows." I said, "Yes, we need windows." Now, she started asking me all these technical questions. You know, "How much windows do you have? What are the sizes of the windows?" I said, "Oh, boy." And he said, "What kind of windows you want?" I said, "My Lord, have mercy. I mean, I'm not a contractor. I don't know all the details." And she said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a check to you for $5,000 to buy the windows." I said, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." And then we need to close the building now. We need to finish it up. And we need money to finish it. And I'm praying every day, "Lord, help us." during the building stages, I wrote a company they call the Lazarus Foundation. They always help people, you know. I said, we need some help to finish this building. And they wrote me back. They said, oh, it's a wonderful project you're doing. Very nice, brother, but we don't help to build buildings. We'll help you 3 years after the orphanage is in operation. I said, oh, well, thank you very much. But what happened is one man came down to visit with us, and he's a chairman or president of the Men and Women of Action. And his son, 16 years old, Tyler Carver is his name, died in a car accident. And the same group that refused to give me any money sent a check with him for $25,000 to help us complete the building in the name of his son, this man's son. So now we have in the building, we have a plaque in honor of his son, Tyler Carver, and the building is completed. We have 14 kids right now. We started October the 1st. We dedicated the building September the 27th. Took kids in October the 1st. So it's October, November, December, January, February, March. And we have 14 kids. There we are. There are the kids. And you're seeing the pictures behind there. And somebody said, what are you going to have? Yeah, we're going to have more kids. But every kid, we need finances to have more kids. Right now, we're paying a staff of 5. Myself and my wife, we are working without pay, and we thank God that we can do it. Amen? And our cost every month to operate is about $3,000 American. And that money is being donated every month to us by our friends to carry the work on. All those kids you see back there, every one of them has a story. The two girls with a little boy, the name of the boy, that girl right there, the two of the middle are sisters. And they came to us with their little brother, Dingo. And that's a story that will rip your heart out. The mother had Dingo, and when he was 9 months old, went off with another guy. Took the two sisters out of school. They were 10 and 8 at that moment. And these sisters took care of Dingo until he was 3 years old. There he is. There's Dingo. There he is. And they lived under their aunt's house. I mean, I should tell you this. There were three other children in the family, and family members, relatives, took the other three. But nobody wants to take the baby with these two girls. So they lived under their aunt's house on a mud floor in a little kind of a dingy place. One little cot, they all sleep together. And they work for the aunt. They fetch water for the aunt. They put water for her to bathe, but they can't use the water to bathe. They got to go to the pond and dip water. They never went to school for 2 years. They forgot all they learned. They couldn't read. They couldn't write. It was a shame. And they came to us, and when they came to us, she was 12, and the other girl was 10, and Dingo was now 3 years old. And they were filled with lice. Their clothes were terrible. They were looking old. And we took them in, and today they're changed. They're different. One day the mother showed up at the orphanage to look for the girl. Because you see, in Guyana, the orphanage has a sting, you know. You're in an orphanage, you know what I mean? You're no good, and you know what I mean? And this. And when they came there, they couldn't speak because it was so beautiful. Everything was so nice and so clean. And I asked the girls, I said, you know this lady? They said, no, we don't know her. And then they came close to her and I said, this is your mother. They said, yeah, we know, but we're not going back with her. They said that in her hearing. And Dingo there will hug anybody. Because think about it, for 3 years, he never knew the love of a mother. Fiona, your pastor's wife, was there, and Dingo would hang on to her. Dingo, one day, was lying on the chair, just taking a little rest. Dingo came on my chest, right here. Right, came on my chest, lying on my chest, and he was kissing me from this side to the other side. He was kissing me all the time. They're craving love. They want to be accepted. They want somebody to tell them they're a human being. The other one of the other girls, you must have seen the picture. These are the girls now. Look at them now. How they look. They got their hair cut. They got cleaned up. They're looking real good. She came from a Muslim orphanage to us. Her mother, in anger, threw hot tea on her and burned her. The police came in the story. And she was in the courts. And they sent the girl to a Muslim orphanage. So we went to the headmistress in the school to talk to her about kids coming to her school. And she said, there was a girl here from the Muslim orphanage, and she wouldn't do any work. She lied on all day. She's sick. She complains. And they wear this head tie, you know, all the time. And she said, the headmistress said, can you take her in your orphanage? I said, yes, why not? We got in touch with the Ministry of Human Services for the government, and they brought her over. Now that girl is changed. Now that girl is saved. She's singing. She wants to get baptized. And that's another story, because they go to a church very regularly, and this particular girl was in the baptism class. But every now and then, we'll take them away to another church to visit. This one here in the white shirt on the side there, that's right there. You see her, she's singing and showing the accent. And I called the pastor and I said, listen, Malika wants to come to church this morning. Do you still have the baptism class? She really want to get baptized. I was talking to the pastor, you know what I mean? And the pastor said, oh my, I'm sorry, she missed two classes. She can't be baptized anymore. So I was shocked, so I said, tell her. You know, I put the phone, said, talk to her. I said, oh my, she was broken up because she wanted to get baptized. She wanted, and here she was shattered. Now, I don't know how many classes you got to go before you get baptized. All I know, if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you're ready to be baptized. And a child, you know, how much are they going to learn in a class? You know what I mean? And that's not the whole story. Every child has a story. I mean, I can go on all morning and tell you, but I don't have enough time. But listen to this. We have devotions every night. The goal of our orphanage is to get these kids to know Jesus Christ. We're not trying to get them fat. You know what I mean? And every night we have devotions. And you ought to hear those kids sing. It will move you. You ought to hear them listen. Some nights I say, no story tonight, I'm tired. And they said, no, you got to tell us a story. And you, would you believe what happened? All 14 of those kids accept Jesus in their hearts. So one day I said, hey, guys, hold on. This is no joke. You know what I mean? This is no joke. You got to be serious here. Do you really believe in Jesus? Say, yes. I said, okay, put your hands on. How many of you really believe in Jesus that you want to be baptized? All 14 of them raised their hands. But that's not the end of the story. Friends from school will come to visit them. And I know of 3 friends from school that are saved also because they come to our services. And they want to be baptized. And the boys will come and stay over there weekends and eat at our table. One particular boy would come in the afternoons and learn to ride bicycle in the orphanage yard. He don't have a bicycle at his own home. Then he'd eat. I mean, they don't go away, they linger around, so my wife invited him to come and eat. You see? And God has been good to us. God has been providing mightily. The same brother I told you, Brother Carver, the president of the Men and Women of Action, his wife works at a high school in Tennessee, and she came to visit the orphanage. And she came back and told the kids in the high school that the kids in Guyana love macaroni. So they set a day one Friday where the kids in the high school will bring macaroni in, and then they get to wear their jeans that day in school. They brought 1,000 boxes of macaroni, and they shipped it to Guyana. And the kids in Guyana tell my wife, Sheila, we want macaroni every day. You see, the kids that we have there, thank God, they're healthy. They're strong, they're willing, they help in the home, they go to church, they praise the Lord. But you know, they're kids, you know what I mean? They will stumble, they will fall, they'll make mistakes, they'll fight. We got a little 4-year-old, he goes to nursery school. So the boys will complain to me, Pastor, Akash cursed bad word. I said, for sure, he said, yes. I said, Akash, why you curse? He said, me not curse, sir. I said, you got to stop cursing. He said, me sorry, sir. But you know, he learned these things in school where he goes. He picked them up. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to go to heaven, because God understands his heart and God knows him. Amen? And I want to ask you, you know, some people think that all we need is money, but we need more than that. We need prayers. There are many other kids out there, my God. This brother, I was over there, I went up visiting one day, and this brother called me. He said, "Brother St. Paul, there's a young lady here that sleeps on the street, and she got a 9-month-old baby, and she takes cocaine. Can you take her in the orphanage?" I said, "Yes, but we don't take kids in ourselves. We got to get the ministry, the government, to approve, because somebody can claim we kidnapped their kids, you know. So we try to keep ourselves clear, and we work with the government. But my friend, there's a great harvest field there. That's why I quit my church, my wife quit her job, and we are working. Now, one piece of good news that I forgot to tell you, and then we're going to get a sermon here. I'm not going to keep you too long. Tyler Carver, the father of Tyler Carver, who died, came to Guyana, he saw the work we are doing, and he was really impressed. Now, this man has visited dozens of countries around the world doing work, building churches, building orphanages, but he loved Guyana. He loved what we are doing. And he said to me, he said, "I want to build a chapel in honor of my son." I said, "Fine, let's build it." And we were looking at a piece of land there right next to the chapel, next to the orphanage. And the guy that owned the land, smart guy, he thinks he's smart, you know. He started to carry the price up every month. When he knew that, you know, Americans want to buy it, he said, "Oh, okay." From 50,000, he went to 75,000. And then after a while, we couldn't talk with him. You know, he said, "There are other people I want." I said, "Fine." And we got a land this week, $35,000. Two men were there. They checked it out. There's the land. There was a bar there. You notice that? A bar there. And this week, my wife told me they're in process of buying that land. So by the ending of this year, we're hoping and praying that we're going to have a chapel where the kids are going to go. I think I'll be the pastor. You better hold on to your pastor real good, because later on, you're going to invite him over there to come pastor the church. I'm just kidding. But thank God for his goodness, amen? Thank God for his grace. Thank you for your support. Some of you here have given, all of you here have given. I was so excited when I see some people give. Some people give through the internet. I was happy to see that. And whatever you give, my friend, is going to the glory and the honor of God. And let me invite you personally. Take a trip down there. It's going to change your life. It's going to make you a different person. You learn to appreciate what you have. Amen? Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, we bless you today. We honor you because you're the God of all the earth. You said in your word, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." Today we bring them to you. We pray for our work in Guyana and the orphanage, that every child, God, will have their needs met. We pray for our brethren here in this church who have supported us, who have been with us. Your blessings will be multiplied towards them. Oh, my God, open the windows of heaven and pour them a blessing that they won't have room to receive it. Let them know that when they invest in your kingdom, you will bless and prosper their every way. Today, as we open the pages of your word, God, help us to understand and to know what you want us to know today. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. You may have your seat. You got your Bibles? Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I heard a kid sing, and it was such a wonderful program. And I heard him sing that the Lord is coming again. He died. He rose again. Went up to heaven. But he's coming again, and he's coming in the clouds. And today, the Lord rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. But when he's coming again, he's coming in a cloud, not with the donkey, but in a cloud. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For a few minutes, let us look at the Word of God and see if we can learn something today that will stir us up onto righteousness. Good to see Barb and Art here. Doug's parents. Good friends. We all have a good time together. 1 Thessalonians 4. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Verse 13. I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version, so some of the words might be different from your King James Version. Is that okay? Is that allowed here? Verse 13, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Fall asleep there means that are dead. Or to grieve like the rest of the men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Note verse 17. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. How many of you believe the Lord is coming again? Say amen. Amen. How many of you believe that the coming of the Lord is very near? Amen. I believe that. And you know, Peter said that in his scripture. He said, the Lord will be revealed from heaven. James the Apostle said, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. John the Revelator in the book of Revelation said, behold, he come quickly, and his reward is with him. Paul says, the Lord himself will come. I'm glad Abraham is not coming. He's a great guy, but I'm glad he's not. I'm glad Moses is not coming. I'm glad that Elijah is not coming, but the Lord himself. Somebody say amen. Amen. The risen Lord, the pierced Lord, the hands that are pierced with a nail, he is coming back. And we're going to know him by the nail prints in his hand. You see, all the apostles said, the Lord is coming back. And the angels said it. When the Lord was taken up into heaven, you remember? The men stood gazing, and the angels came down and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Jesus who is taken from you shall so come again in like manner. Somebody say amen. He's coming again. Not only did the apostles said so, not only did the angels said so, Jesus himself said so. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Somebody say amen. Amen. The apostles said it. The angels said it. Jesus said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Jesus is coming again. And no president can stop him. No nuclear bomb can stop him. No missile can stop him. He is coming because he is creator. He is Lord of the church. He is my Savior. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. But we got a problem to know when he's coming. And some people have been setting times. I remember one time in 1988. I don't know how many Christians remember that. There was a booklet out. The Lord is coming this year. And Christians were all getting excited. Never came. And people keep setting times. We cannot set a time. And listen carefully why. someone, a woman is pregnant with a baby, is that right? And she goes to the clinic every month, whatever. I don't know much about this stuff. It's been what, a long time. And the doctor gives her a date, is that right? A date, so and so time you should get your baby. The time comes, and maybe she feels some pain or she don't. But she's getting ready. She started to feel some pain, said, I think I'm gonna get a baby today. She rushes to the hospital, is that right? And many times the men are more nervous than the one who's getting the baby. They start breathing while they're going to the hospital. She goes to the hospital, she goes into the room, she's in labor. Oh, the baby might come anytime, within an hour, maybe two. Nobody knows the time. Come on, give me an amen, somebody. Nobody knows the time, is that right? And the doctor comes in and checks and said, oh, she'll be all right just now. And she went through the whole night till the next day the baby didn't come. And they're still waiting. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. No one knows the time when the baby is going to come. But about this time, it's going to come. That's exactly how it is with the Lord. Finally, the baby is born and they register the time. Not so exactly like what the doctor said, but around that time. Isn't that what the Lord says? No one knows the day or the hour or the time, but he's coming, and his coming is at the doors. And he said, when you see these things, lift up your eyes and look, your redemption draw it nigh. Wars and rumors of wars, pestilences and earthquakes, tornadoes right in Ephrata, all kinds of plagues and troubles all over the world. One of the biggest signs that the Lord is coming is the financial crisis that we're in right now. Do you know that? Do you know that through a financial crisis, the Antichrist is going to come in? Because he is going to come in and tell them he can fix it. And he's going to fix it. And they're going to worship him as God because they're going to start getting so much money, you know. Everything is going to say, wow, this guy got to be God, got to be Christ. And they're going to worship him. But look what's happening. Jesus said it in Matthew 24, false prophets will come. Many will come and say, I am Christ. And he said, beware. How many new churches you know today? How many different denominations there are? You know that they have what you call Satanist church? Somebody told me that they had a wedding the other day, and it was a Wiccan wedding, a wedding of witches. Never been to one of those. Look what's going on in our seminaries and where these men are studying theology and all of that. They're denying the virgin birth. They said Jesus never died on the cross. He just fainted. And when they put him in the tomb, he just cooled off and woke up. And they're bringing all kinds of doctrines. And more and more and more you're going to hear. False teachings. Men shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. What are doctrines of the devil? No hell, no heaven. It's right here. What are doctrines of the devil? No virgin birth. And you know how they're going to argue about the virgin birth? They can duplicate the virgin birth today. Are you there? Some people are looking at me like... They have what you call sperm banks, is that right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ladies can go to the sperm bank and pick the color of the child, pick the color of his eyes, pick the kind of hair they want, how tall he's going to be, get what, inseminated, whatever. And they can bear a child without a father, I mean, without a natural father. And I firmly believe, that's how the Antichrist is going to come. He's going to say, I never had a father. My mother was a virgin when I was born. Trying to duplicate Christ. Are you following here? So now we got all these signs fulfilling. One of the big signs that the Lord talked about is the gospel going into all the earth. He said, this gospel must be preached in all the earth before I come. And what's going on today? There's satellites carrying the gospel in the Arab nations, in Russia, China, all over the world. But better than that, We got the internet now. Is that right? Within a few minutes, within a minute, you can send out an email to millions of people telling them to pray. Pray. Millions. In other words, now the world has become a village. And the gospel is being preached in all nations. They don't want to hear it. It's coming in their email. Is that right? They don't want to see it. It's going to be there. And they're hearing it because the Lord is coming. But one of the biggest signs that I ought to tell you about this morning, it's about the sign of Israel. Are you still there? As Israel goes, so the time goes. And one of the signs of the coming of the Lord is the building of the temple. When the building of the temple is near, the Antichrist will appear because he's going to put his image in the temple, which Daniel called the abomination of desolation. But here's the thing. The temple is not there yet. Right on the site of the temple, many of you know, there's a mosque, a Muslim mosque. And one of the mayors of Jerusalem went to visit under the mosque in a tunnel, and they had a big riot about it. A few people got killed. The Muslims are upset about that. But this is what's happening right now. From all that I've heard is that Israel has got an order placed for stones to build a temple. Israel are finding priests who belong to the line of the Bible priests. And they're finding this priest by getting their DNA tested. And they're preparing these priests to minister in the temple. They're rearing red heifers to offer as sacrifices in the temple. They're making utensils for the temple. Now, how long would it take to build a temple? I don't think very long. They can bomb that mosque in a day, clear it out the next day, and start building a temple in a few months. Are you getting the picture here? And that tells me something. That tells me, brother, that the Lord is going to come before the Antichrist comes. Is that right? And the Antichrist is right on the horizon because he is the one that is going to give them permission to build a temple. He is the one, when the temple is built, he's going to go in there and put in his image and force the Jews to worship his image. And when the Jews refuse to worship him, he's going to start killing them out. And then they're going to fly and hide and the wings of an eagle. Imagine in those days, the apostle wrote wings of an eagle, never know what aeroplane. And Antichrist is going to pursue them, trying to kill them out. Now, I believe the time is very, very near. The fig tree gives the blossoms, and you know fruit is near. The clouds get heavy and dark, and you know rain is coming. But how is he coming? Not in a chariot. Not in a manger, not with a crown on his head. He's coming in the air. I ought to tell you right here, there's two parts to his coming. One time he's coming in the air, and the next time he's coming on Mount Olives. So don't get confused now. We're talking about the rapture here. We're talking about the first part of his second coming. The second part, he's coming to rule and reign 1,000 years. And the first part, he's coming for the church. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's see what's going to happen here when he comes. Are you ready? We read it just now. The trumpet is going to sound. The archangel is going to shout. Then the Lord is going to start coming down with the clouds. But he's not going to come on the earth. Because the dead in Christ is going to rise to meet him. That's what the scripture said. Am I right here? You want us to read it again? I hope not. The dead will rise first. Why? Because they're below us. They got to come up. Then those that are alive and remain will join the dead, will be caught up. Caught up. Sometimes you get that feeling in church, that hallelujah feeling. You feel like you're going up. Come on, somebody give me an amen down there. Ooh, you feel light. You feel like, my God, this is real good. Hallelujah. But there's coming a time when you're going to say, ha, and the Luya is going to go up when you get up there. Because it's going to be so quick, in the twinkling of an eye, as the lightning shined from the east unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Lord. Are you ready? Let's see what's going to happen. Okay? The dead are coming out of the graves, bursting the ground, coming up. While they're coming up, we, the Apostle Paul says, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Got it? I declare unto you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable, or the corrupt inherit. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all be dead. But we shall be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on, must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When this perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality, then shall the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? All right, let me go back now. Let's see what's going to happen. We cannot get into heaven like we are. We just read it. Flesh and blood will not go into heaven. So we got to be changed. Is that right? And that's what the apostle said. Paul said, we shall be changed. There's a song that goes like that. We shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this flesh, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. And we shall rise. We shall rise to meet the Lord in the air. Now here we go. I'm in the market. I'm in the supermarket. And the trumpet sounds. And the archangel. No, I don't know what the archangel is going to say. But I believe he's going to say something like, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And those who are tuned to heaven, they're the ones that are going to hear it. Not everybody's going to hear it. So we got to be tuned every day to heaven. And then the Lord comes, and what happens? The glory and the power of the Lord reaches down the earth and start to pull those that belong to him. Unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. You see, something within you is going to attract that magnetic power. But if you don't have it, you're not going. You're going to be too heavy. Loaded down with sin, man. Come on. Listen, the only criteria, the only thing that's going to take us up is the blood upon our souls. And the blood upon our hearts. I want you to understand this. This is for real. This is going to happen one day. You're driving your truck and you're gone. My Lord, I don't know what's going to happen with the truck. I don't care about that part. I'm not here no more. I'm gone. Somebody say amen. I mean, you're in your home, you're doing the dishes, you're doing something, you're singing a song, you know, and here you are. You're gone. You disappear. Because it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. See, I'm going to drop my glasses when I go, because over there it's going to be perfect. The Lamb is going to be the light. Somebody say amen. I'm going to see things real good. Somebody say amen. Woo! You see this watch that I got on? I'm not going to need it anymore. I'm going to drop it. Because we don't count time over there. There is no night there. It's one long, sweet forever. Hallelujah. I'm going to drop these shoes, man. Let me tell you, these old shoes, I tell you, these shoes are called street cars. You know, street cars, very good shoes. Haven't got one, you ought to buy one. They last a long time. And we're going to put on golden slippers. That's what some of the songs say. I think we're going to drop all these clothes that we got on. And we're going to put on a robe of righteousness. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I'm feeling good already, brother. See this wallet that I got here? I don't have any Guyana dollars. Got American dollars, but I'm going to drop all of it. And that's how they're going to know that we're gone. They're going to see your driver's license. They're going to know you were here, but you're gone. And you're not taking any of that money with you, you know. Over there, all things are free. We're going to sit at the marriage feast of the Lamb, and we're going to eat with Abraham and Moses and David. And it's going to be free. Come and dine, the Master calling. You see, it's going to be so fast. You won't have time to hold your husband or your wife. Every man, every woman has got to go up on their own salvation. Nobody can grab on your coattail and get up. No child will hold on to their parents. You got to go up on your own. See, all the pain is gone. All the sorrow is gone. But I got some news for you, and you ought to hear this because this is important. I am going to know you just like you are. You're going to look better because the glory of God is going to make us all look better. Somebody say amen. But you see what I'm doing, Doug? I'm trying to take care of this whole thing so I don't look too bad when I get up there. Somebody say amen. You ought to take care of yourself, because if you got a mark right here, we're going to know you by that mark up there. Because Jesus still got his mark in his hands. Come on. Are you with me? But no more pain in the back. No more pain in the knee. No more crutches. Come on. Give me an amen. No more braces. Let me tell you, it's going to be one beautiful forever. But do I have to search heaven for you? Did you see Brother Doug? Anybody see Sister Fiona anywhere in this crowd here? Because people will be coming over from all over the world. China, India, Russia, Indonesia, the Arab nations. They'll be all pulled up to meet the Lord in the air. And when the salt is taken out, corruption steps in. One part of Revelation says, there'll be blood up to the horse's bridle for 200 miles. Are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you ready to be lifted up? Are you ready to be raptured? Are you ready to go up when the Lord comes? You better get ready. You see, my friend, because when he comes, there's no time to get ready. You got to be ready when he comes. You got to watch and pray. He said, occupy till he comes. Do his work till he comes. Heal the sick. Pray for those that need prayer. Preach the gospel. Tell others. Be ready, because he's coming for a church without spot and without wrinkle. Ten virgins. Five were wise and five were foolish. I don't like to use the word foolish. Five were wise and five were not so wise. You know the story, don't you? They were all waiting for the bridegroom to come. And they had their lamps. And they had to put it out because the bridegroom delayed his coming. Just like today, Christians are saying, well, I heard the Lord was coming since I got saved. He's not here yet, but he's coming. And they all slept. And at midnight, there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And they all got up together. The ladies were straightening up their dresses and putting on their makeup. And they were getting ready to meet the bridegroom. But the five that were not so wise didn't have any oil in their lamps anymore. And they try to borrow from those who had. No, 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 we can't give you because we need what we get. Go get some for yourself. So they went to get some oil. By the time they got back, the door was closed. See, in those days, they closed the door because gangsters would come in and kidnap the bride and rob the guests. They closed the door. And the ones that were ready went in. And these were not ready. They were late. They came in and they were rapping at the door. Can you hear them rapping at the door? Open unto us. And the doorkeeper pulled that little latch, you know. Who are you? Well, we are here. We were here to welcome the bridegroom, but we didn't have any oil. We went and get oil, and now we're back. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. Come on, open the door, old man. We were here before. We must get in there. We are part of this wedding party. No, can't let you in. I have orders not to let anybody in. Disappointed. Disgrace. Lonely. In the dark. Locked out. Going back into sin. Going back into what they were doing. Going back. But on the other side of the door, there was rejoicing. There was dancing. They were singing. They were feasting. They were laughing. They were shouting. They were so happy. Which side of the door are you on? Which side of the door? Are you saved? Is your soul washed in the blood? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you been born again? It's good to come to church, but you got to make sure you're born again. You got to make sure you're washed in the blood. You got to make sure you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One more story and I'm closing. In Guyana, we have ferry boats that cross the big rivers. When I was a young man, I didn't have a car, so I'd join a bus or a taxi to catch the ferry that goes to Georgetown, you know. It'll take you over the other side, then you get another vehicle and you go to town. So the cars and the taxi will drop us like 100 yards away. They won't come close, you know. And we'll grab our little bags and we'll start to go towards the ferry. Now, this is the scene. If we don't see any smoke there, we walk leisurely because it's not there yet. You know what I mean? Well, if we see the smoke from the ferry, we start to run because we want to catch it. Are you listening to me now? So here am I in my little bag. I see the smoke, and I'm running. Woo, I'm running. I'm going to catch this one. I'm going to town now, you know. As soon as I get there, the guy closed the door, closed the gate towards the ferry. Open the door. The ferry is still here. He said, no, no, no. They're full, and they're ready to go. And the people on the ferry are seeing me, you know. And they're laughing, they're all smiling. And you hear me say, you're early for the next one. Because I got to wait there now 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours, for the next one. I missed it. My friends, I don't know about you, but I want to go up in the first resurrection. I want to go up when the Lord comes. I tell you, this world is not my home. The sin in this world is getting worse and worse and worse. The tide is getting higher. I can only say like the John the Revelator, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads of prayer. I pray, Lord, today if there's anyone here who is not ready, they'll be ready. God, if there is anyone here that is not saved, they will be saved. They will call upon the name of the Lord and they will be saved. Bless them today, Lord. Help them in the name of Jesus. Stir them up, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Help them, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
If you're here today, I want you to say this with me. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I come before you right now, and I want to make things right with you. If there's anything in me that's not pleasing to you, I repent of it now.
Yes.
Father, I receive your forgiveness, your cleansing, your wholeness. I want to walk with you. I declare that Jesus Christ, your Son, rose from the dead and is my Lord. I submit and yield to Him with my whole heart, with all my being, with all my strength, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now just receive from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence. Why did God make it so easy to accept him? Because he doesn't want anybody to miss the boat. He doesn't want you to be locked out. He's given you a ticket to come in, and that is Jesus. Just receive him. Receive all. Let him be your Lord. Let him direct your life. Let him lead and guide you. Allow him to change you. That's what this is all about. Amen. Now you know where Pastor Fiona gets her fire from. And today you can make an investment into this home and into this work.